Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Howard Love Fuero, author of Crown Deception. Now, I love the premises of this story because most of us think of dentists as the one that tortures, especially me. I do not really enjoy visiting the dentist. However, in this story, the dentist is the hero as the main character, Dr. Jake Patterson, uncovers a mysterious dental pattern while providing dental forensics to the local law enforcement. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Howard. Howard Love Fuero is a 1977 graduate of Baylor University in Waco with a Bachelor of Science in Biology. He graduated from the University of Texas Dental Branch in 1984. He currently practices dentistry in Salado, Texas at Salado Smiles. Howard is married to Debbie and has two grown children, Blake and Aaron. He enjoys the time he spends with his three grandchildren, Stella, Claire, and Carter. His previous writing includes an article published in September 2004, Texas Dental Journal, entitled Call to Service, Beliefs, Mission, Projects from the Beginning to Present, and his piece as contributor to the book Getting Down to Business, Success in Each Stage of Your Dental Career, edited by L. Norton Henley III, ASD, with his chapter entitled Group Practice, A Model for Talented Professionals. The book was published in 2009. Crown Deception is his first book. For more information on Howard and his book, visit www.crowndeception.com, and that is crowndeception.com. Hi, Howard. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And you?
Pretty good. Thank you. I'm really interested in your book, let me tell you, because I am a mystery fanatic. And I'll read and watch all mysteries, and many of which are medical mysteries. And I'm used to hearing doctors being involved in mysteries, but this is the first one that I see a dentist being the hero.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you're a dentist yourself. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay, well, I've been a dentist for 28 years and have a general dentist, and I do all forms of dentistry, except some of the extreme specialties, but have been in private practice and been involved in group practice and have practiced in the Houston area, Central Texas, on Fort Hood in Killeen, and then I'm currently in Salado, Texas right now. We have a smaller practice here now. We have five different operatories, a staff of about eight, and just try to take care of folks from the young to the old.
That's great. One of my favorite family friends was a dentist in North Carolina, and he's the one that mm-hmm. changed my opinion about dentists, because I thought they were just, don't take it personal, but being a kid, I thought it was a boring life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was anything but boring. He had an amazing life and very traveled all over the world and did a lot with a corpse.
Right.
Africa, and it was just amazing to talk to him. So why do we have this view that of dentists being a little bit just monotonous life?
Well, I think, first of all, it's probably not the favorite place that people want to go and get treatment
that
done.
That is true.
You know, but at the same time, if you look at the polls, they're probably one of the more well-respected professions. And, you know, I guess media and the movies have portrayed us as sadistic creatures throughout. I mean, you can look at some of the best movies from even back with some of the silent films on up to the more recent ones where, you know, we had all sorts of things going on as the dentist. You know, he was the bumbling guy. I think of the guy on the Dick Van Dyke Show that was the bumbling neighbor that just kind of walked in, or some of the current movies that are out there that make them kind of a little weird.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right. I mean, if you look at the action movies and everything, it's espionage, all the tortures are with the teeth.
Right. Well, and I think that is the reason, because a lot of people, that kind of hits home with people. People are uncomfortable, and it is an invasive thing that we do to people, and it puts them in a vulnerable situation that can sometimes make them uncomfortable, in addition to even the you know, the things that we sometimes have to do.
Yeah. Did you draw from your own career for this character? Did you draw a lot of stuff from your own personal and career life to your main character in your book?
Well, I think probably from the standpoint of looking at how he practiced, and some of which I didn't put in the book, but in my mind as I looked at how he would function in that regard, yes. He travels to Europe and the Netherlands, and I was able to visit there. My son actually went to graduate school there, so we visited over there 3 times, and my wife lived over there for a while. So that I had to kind of put that in, and there's another part where they travel to Belize, and I've done mission work down in Belize for about 15 to 20 years. And so my experiences there fit into the book, too. So not so much the day-to-day being the dentist, because there's not a whole lot of the clinical side of what we do,
mm-hmm.
but pretty much some of the experiences that I've had as a dentist.
Have you ever been asked to go in for dental records identification in a morgue or anything like that?
I have not. The only thing, the closest thing I've ever had to do is I've gotten a letter from that has been sent out to different dentists looking for medical records on individuals that have died that haven't been identified yet. So, but I'm familiar enough with that part of what's being done through those, you know, real superficial experiences that sometimes that happens. You know, and I kind of pictured what I wrote about in the book was, you know, a little closer, smaller town environment where he actually was friends with everybody and got called in.
How did you come up with a mystery? I mean, why did you decide to write a mystery?
Well, I like mysteries too, and I must confess that I'm more of a vacation reader than a avid have a book by my bed all the time. And mysteries allow me to escape and get away. I like the suspense of it. I like the you know, trying to second guess what's going on, and usually there's some travel involved in some of these mysteries, and that just kind of fit into what I liked.
Yeah. Do you have any more dentists in your family? Did any of your or a writer in your family or?
Well, I have a dentist. It's my first cousin, and he practices in Maryland, and so probably a little bit of inspiration from him to actually get me into dental school, but not from the mystery part. My wife actually has written an historical novel of some individuals here in Central Texas that existed in the 1870s, 1880s. There was a cult of women that lived in this area, so she wrote a historical novel about them.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know there was such thing as a women's cult.
It was called The Sanctified Sisters of Belton, Texas, and her book is entitled Set Apart, my little plug for her.
There you go. Now, you did do a lot of professional writing. You wrote the Texas 2004, published in the September.
Yeah, yes, I was asked to write an article about my experiences in Belize in the mission field down there. And then also, I've written a chapter on group dental practice in a textbook. Not as much professional writing as I would love to do. Written various newspaper articles and things like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of writers that I talk, authors and writers that I talk to, have always drawn from facts
mm-hmm.
a little bit on their fiction. You know, whether it's a headline they see on the news or well-thought research that showed something that shocked them or anything like that. And that's how their little fiction story started.
Right.
How did your story unfold? Did you base it on facts, or did you did it unfold as you wrote, or how did that go for you?
Well, I think one of the more surprising things for me when I sat down to write the quote-unquote great American novel, as any writer sets out to do the first time, is I was surprised at how the story seemed to write itself. And certainly I had a premise, and I learned early on that you write about what you know about, and so dentistry fit into that, and the original part where the story begins is near Houston, and I grew up near Houston, and I've traveled to the Netherlands and Belize, and so those all kind of fit in there. As far as you know, back to the question about facts. You know, I deal with facts every single day in what I do for a living. So I think I probably stretch things just a little bit with the story just to make it a little bit less factual for me to have to deal with. The premise of the story with the smuggling within the tooth, I just sort of analyzed what would be attractive to someone that a dentist would do. And I, you know, certainly thinking of all the things that I do that are not attractive to patients and readers, I had to kind of come up with something that would be on the edge.
Most of the mysteries that I find, I would imagine a story like yours, because your story on your book, and again, let me just mention the title of your book is Crown Deception, and I encourage everybody to visit your website at www.crowndeception.com.
Exactly.
And what surprised me is that you are facing this in a small town in Texas, which is, you know, great because I'm also in Texas. When I would have imagined something like symbols on people's teeth or anything like that, I just think of big cities like New York or anything like that. Do you see a lot of cosmetic dental work, like little, I mean, does that happen? Do people put symbols on?
Not really. And I would say that probably I was stretching the truth of the typical dentist who is very hand-focused and detail-oriented. So the dentist I described from the Netherlands that was involved in this was probably on the extreme end of the spectrum. And but there are things that people have done in every once in a while you'll see designs and things that are drawn into crowns, but I would say that that's probably pretty rare.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Howard Love Bureau, author of Crown Deception. Stay tuned because we're going to continue this very fun and interesting conversation with Howard and learn more about how dentists are viewed by the public and why, his life and his writing. But in the meantime, you can check out his book, Crown Deception, by visiting his website at www.crowndeception.com, and that is CrowndeceptionPTIO.com. Is there anything in your career that shocked you? I mean, a request by a customer or anything like that?
At this point, no. You know, occasionally I've had individuals want me to make gold teeth for them with designs and symbols on them. That's kind of a hard thing to do because a lot of times that is not done properly and you sort of have to figure out where you are ethically on that. But I'm really not surprised because at this point it's across the spectrum what patients would want me to do from A to Z, from whether it's a bizarre treatment or somehow they wanted me to bill it out so that it wouldn't show up on their insurance at the wrong time. And you can't do those kind of things. You have to just be pretty straight-laced and follow the rules.
Yeah. What can you tell me about your plans in writing in the future? Are you thinking of keeping writing mysteries or?
Well, yes, I am. I'm actually currently working on a sequel using the same characters, and it's going a little slower than it did the first time, or maybe I shouldn't say that because it took me about 5 or 6 years to write the first book, and so I'm really not even a year into it, but I've got about maybe a fourth of the book written, and just trying to stretch the adventure with these same characters as much as I can. And I got a couple ideas that I would like to put in some other books as well. My challenge this time is that when I wrote the first book, I was in a transition in my career where I was not the boss. I was able to go in and practice dentistry, and I could sit down and write in between patients, and I had more free time at the end of the day and the beginning of the day. I'm once again the boss man. So in addition to being the dentist in the office, I have to run the business. And so my time is a little more challenging on how I get it all done. But we're working on it little by little. And I say we, and that my wife's side by side providing editing and correcting as we go along.
Yeah, so your family is very involved in your writing?
But my wife, and I would say more so now that since I've published the book than before. I tease her about the fact that, you know, she was the one that published her book first about 12 years ago. And so when I said I was going to write a book, she kind of, you know, almost looked down on me and thought, oh, you can't do that. And so when I finally got it done, I was able to get it finished, and she finally gave me some credibility.
Yeah, do you see that being your retirement career?
No, I don't. That would be a really nice thought, but I love what I do, and so I see it as a side career. If one of these things certainly spun off and became something, then that might be certainly worthwhile to look at. But I love my profession as well.
Yeah, I am. I'm also an author, and my husband is a computer tech, so no help there from him. But we're just beginning to be empty nesters.
Uh-huh.
Which are going to call it, and that's what I've been thinking about, is let's find something that we can do together, and we ended up doing radio online together.
Mm, that's wonderful, yeah.
And I think it's great that your wife helped you and that you both write, because it gives you something in common for when the kids are gone, I guess.
Right, well, the kids are gone now. They've been out for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
So we're past the empty nester, almost there, we're there, and we've got the grandkids and all that kind of stuff coming in. So we actually took a short vacation a couple of weeks ago, and one of the days on the vacation we set aside for writing, and so I was able to write, and she was able to go through and do some editing, and we're also looking at maybe doing the second edition on the first book, making sure everything's cleaned up in the first one, you know.
Yeah. What are your goals for your future in, you know, I mean, as a being somebody after being an empty nester to the next level, you're in the golden years, basically, but you're still working and you're still very active. What would you tell people that are approaching your stage of life now that could help them? I'd like to ask for tips.
For tips.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You know, because it's kind of like it's sort of the same thing when people ask you tips for raising children, and you're thinking we're just doing this as it comes along. I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. You know, I don't see myself as the guy that retires. I see myself one of the beauties of my profession is that as I grow older, I don't have to work as long. I don't have to work 4 days. I don't have to work 5 days. Maybe I'll work 3 days, and then maybe I'll work 2 days, and maybe it'll just be one day, and maybe I'll just manage the practice. And that's kind of where I see myself, at least over the next 10 to 15 years, is just working as much as I can as long as I enjoy it. If I don't enjoy it, then I'll stop and do something else.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually the best tip you can give, is as long as you're enjoying it.
Exactly.
Yep. I agree.
And I still have this writing. You know, I do. I have some great ideas. Right now, my time management is what I'm dealing with when I sit down to write. And, you know, and I think there's some discipline involved in that, because there's so many things that interfere with being able to do it. But when you sit down and do it, it flows.
Yeah. No, it is a matter of discipline. I know for my own experience, I've been a very involved mom with my two kids,
mm-hmm.
working full-time anyway, and writing on the side since 1990. So it takes discipline, and it's just, you know, but at the same time it takes just being realistic. Even if it's a couple of hours a week that you have, as
right.
long as you're doing constantly, you're going to get somewhere with it.
Well, and I think the story comes in spurts, too. You know, I don't know how other writers are, but I can't tell you that on in Crown Deception, the beginning of the book and the end of the book were clear in my mind when I started. I had a general premise on what I wanted to do with it, and like I said a few minutes ago, the story just sort of wrote itself. And sometimes it was really hard, and it was hard to get the story to the next step. But once you kind of trudged through that chapter or half of a chapter, it flowed again.
We're getting closer to the end, and I want to really make sure that you let us know, where can people find your book?
Well, in today's wonderful internet world, you can find it pretty much anywhere. The publisher is booklocker.com. You can go to booklocker.com and purchase the book on the site there, or you can get it at Amazon. It's available in paperback and Kindle. You can also go to Barnes & Noble's and get it through Nook and paperback as well, and then also iBooks has it. And there are a couple ebooks places that you can pick it up as well. But it's fun for me to put in the name of my book, Crown Deception by Howard Loughborough, and then just check what Google brings up, because it just brings it up across the world. And that's kind of fun to see that happens. So I think the mainstream bookstores, you certainly can find it.
And they also can see a sample chapter in
yes.
your website. And
yes.
again, I encourage everybody to check it out, because it's very interesting, and it's www.crowndeception.com, and that is crowndeception.com. Steve, thank you so much for being with us, and I really, really wish you luck on your second book. I know it's going to be a great book, because it's just so uncommon to see the dentist being the hero instead of the torturer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I don't do that in my practice either. I'm a hero in my practice.
So thank you again for being with us. And
you're welcome.
Best to you. And listeners, thank you again for being with us. And until next time.